The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking levels, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
I'm back! Oh, yes. Greetings from waterlogged Florida. That was the reason for the water-themed pre-show music today. I got to tell you, I took a long weekend, had some tests to deal with, which seemed to be okay. Knock on wood laminate here. And then I drove my daughter up to sort of central northern Florida, where she's going to be a summer camp counselor this summer. And, you know, Florida has been in a drought for the last few months. It's been very, very dry here. And, but boy, I get in a car and drive 5 hours, it starts raining. It rained most of the way up there. And go figure, most of the way back. And now that I'm back today, I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning. It has not stopped raining. Not for a moment. And, you know, there are intermittent times of just downpours like I haven't seen in a long, long time. You know, Al Gore made the rounds this weekend. And I don't know if this is going to play or not. We'll try it. He spoke with George Stephanopoulos about what the weather looks like these days. Let's see if this will work.
Business leaders step forward.
So does it really make all that much difference then if the United States pulls out of the Paris Climate Accord? Remember back, you know, the United States under George W. Bush pulled out of Kyoto, yet the innovation continued after that.
Well, we lost a lot of time when the U.S. Did not join the rest of the world community then. And while it is true that we have this sustainability revolution underway, and it's very exciting, it has the magnitude of the Industrial Revolution, but the speed of the digital revolution. But we're still not changing fast enough, because it's not just the scientific community warning us now, it's Mother Nature. Every night on the TV news is like a nature hike through the Book of Revelation.
You know, I grew up here in Florida, a nature hike through the Book of Revelation. I couldn't tell you what the Book of Revelation says, but I know that it never used to rain like this. It would rain, an hour, and then the skies would clear and it would be sunny. We haven't seen this. Right now outside, it looks like it's about 8 o'clock at night. It's that dark and rainy. And, you know, it's just one of the many things going on. Gotta Laugh will be here today. It's Tuesday. There's so much to talk about. Again, I was out a few days last week. But I'll tell you, the one thing that stopped me in my tracks this morning was the editorial from the Wall Street Journal. I know it was maybe a couple of weeks ago, I read to you an editorial from Der Spiegel, from the German newspaper, that was stunning in its dismissal of Trump as any kind of serious world leader. But when it comes from the Wall Street Journal, again, this is the paper, you know, this is Murdoch's paper. This is Trump's defenders. I'm going to share it with you because when the Wall Street Journal goes off on Trump the way they did, you know that the man is in trouble. So here's what they wrote. Again, this is the Wall Street Journal, not a guest editorial. This is their lead editorial at the Wall Street Journal in today's paper. You ready? Some people with a propensity for self-destructive behavior can't seem to help themselves, President Trump apparently among them. Over the weekend and into Monday, he indulged in another cycle of Twitter outbursts and pointless personal feuding that may damage his agenda and the powers of the presidency. Ah, thank you. David just handed me a note that says, the Book of Revelations predicts the apocalypse. You see, if I had any biblical knowledge at all, I would have known that. Anyway. Rightly so. I think this is, what's the book that tells us about the flood and Noah? Because I swear I saw someone building an ark down the street and loading animals on it. Anyway, back to the Wall Street Journal. Over the weekend and into Monday, he indulged in another cycle of Twitter outbursts and pointless personal feuding that may damage his agenda and the powers of the presidency. Mr. Trump first expressed solidarity with the British people after the London terror attack before managing to convert the mass murder into a referendum on his favorite subject, Donald J. Trump. He assailed London Mayor Sadiq Khan for supposedly minimizing the threat, though what Mr. Khan said was that there was no reason to be alarmed by an enlarged police presence after the rampage. Pathetic excuse, Mr. Trump called it. World leaders who stoop to attack municipal politicians in foreign cities look small, not that we can recall a precedent. If Theresa May has an opinion about Bill de Blasio, she's kept it to herself, though the prime minister was compelled to say Mr. Khan is, quote, doing a good job. It's wrong to say anything else. In a humiliating coup de grace, the mayor's office, this is Mayor Sadiq Khan, put out a statement saying that he has, quote, more important things to do than respond to Mr. Trump's social media insults. The U.S. commander-in-chief also has better uses of his time than making himself look foolish. The Wall Street Journal continues, Mr. Trump's more consequential eruption was against Mr. Trump's Justice Department. He was evidently responding to a segment on MSNBC's Morning Joe about his executive order temporarily suspending immigration entry from six countries with a history of terrorism. People, the lawyers and the courts can call it whatever they want, Mr. Trump wrote. I am calling it what we need when what it is, a travel ban. Mr. Trump added that the Justice Department should have stayed with the original travel ban, not the watered-down, politically correct version they submitted to SC. Special counsel is what SC stands for. That much I got. Oh, by the way, it was Noah was in the book of Genesis. Thank you again, David, my religious scholar in the house. Compared to me, Jackson is a religious scholar. Jackson's my dog. Back to the Wall Street Journal. They continue, these comments are reckless on multiple levels. The original blunderbuss order was rolled out on the Friday night of Mr. Trump's first week as president with zero public explanation and little internal vetting. White House staffers from the Steve Bannon wing preferred the stun grenade approach. But Mr. Trump's legal team convinced him to sign a legally bulletproof revision in March because they preferred to win in court. The new order wasn't, quote, watered down on substance, but did make pragmatic exceptions for, say, permanent residents with green cards and military translators. Had the White House done such legal due diligence in the first place, the travel ban might not have become a political bonfire, not least because the president enjoys wide constitutional and statutory discretion over immigration and national security. If Mr. Trump's action is legal on the merits, he seems to be angry that his lawyers are trying to vindicate the rule of law. This part I got is just stunning to me because Trump is now less than thrilled with Jeff Sessions because Sessions recused himself. Oh, my God. All right. Back to the editorial. Attorney General Jeff Sessions would be justified if he resigned. And this is merely the latest incident in which Mr. Trump popping off undermined his own lawyers. The White House spent days explaining that the president fired James Comey on the counsel of Deputy AG Ron Rosenstein, only for Mr. Trump to tell an interviewer that he planned to dismiss the FBI director in any case. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly has also suggested that the temporary visa shutdown is not an immigration ban. If this pattern continues, Mr. Trump may find himself running an administration with no one but his family and the Breitbart staff. People of talent and integrity won't work for a boss who undermines them in public without thinking about the consequences. And whatever happened to the buck stops here? Again, I'm going to stop down and reiterate for those just joining us, this is the Wall Street Journal's lead editorial today from the editors of the Wall Street Journal. It's not a guest editorial. This is the Wall Street Journal editorial in their paper today, and it is brutal. It continues, Mr. Trump is also sabotaging the legitimate legal basis for the travel ban, and the stakes are bigger than the ban itself, which we think is counterproductive and unnecessary. He is exercising core presidential powers over foreign affairs that the courts may restrict if Mr. Trump keeps daring them to do so. Two appellate courts, and I disagree with them on this one, but hey, the fact that I've agreed with them thus far is insane. All right. Two appellate courts have ignored the order's text and cited legally irrelevant campaign statements to rule that the ban is really intended to discriminate against Muslims. And now President Trump has given liberal judges Twitter evidence to conclude that his motives may be suspect. At the very least, he is making it harder to corral a Supreme Court majority. And here's the kicker, folks. Here comes the kicker. In other words, in 140 character increments, Mr. Trump diminished his own standing by causing a minor international incident, demonstrated that the loyalty he demands of the people who works for him isn't reciprocal, set back his policy goals, and wasted time that he could have devoted to health care, tax reform, or, quote, infrastructure week. Mark it all down as further evidence that the most effective opponent of the Trump presidency is Donald J. Trump. And yes, thank you. Thank you, Wall Street Journal editorial board. Maybe they're finally growing some sense over there. Or the fact is that Trump is so far down the rabbit hole that even they can't defend him anymore. You know, I don't know what they're doing over on the fake news channel because, you know, they are Fox, the purveyors, the original purveyors of fake news.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
They do, but even they, it seems, can't completely defend him anymore. You know, the whole thing about the travel ban. I know I've got this clip. Do I have it here? Maybe I didn't pull it here because I have it in the green in the What's News today. Is it a travel ban or is it not a travel ban? The only people asking the question seem to be within the Trump administration itself, because we know it's a travel ban. In fact, you know what? Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll hear What's News. You'll get the clip montage that I'm talking about. And then we'll come back with Gotta Laugh next to pick up the discussion and see where it takes us. So don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
According to a highly classified intelligence report obtained by The Intercept, Russian military intelligence executed a cyber attack on at least one U.S. voting software supplier and sent spear phishing emails to more than 100 local election officials shortly before the 2016 presidential election. The hackers are believed to have then used data from that operation to create a new email account to launch a spear phishing campaign targeting U.S. local government organizations. The info in the leaked document seems to go further than the U.S. intelligence agency's January assessment of the hacking that occurred. The report was allegedly leaked by a 25-year-old NSA contractor, now identified as Reality Lee Winner of Augusta, Georgia, who has been charged in U.S. District Court with copying classified documents and mailing them to a reporter. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was at the White House press podium on Monday, where she was asked about the most anticipated Senate testimony in years, as former FBI Director James Comey goes before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday.
The president's power to exert executive privilege is very well established. However, in order to facilitate a swift and thorough examination of the facts sought by the Senate Intelligence Committee, President Trump will not assert executive privilege regarding James Comey's scheduled testimony.
It's now looking like all the broadcast networks, in addition to cable news, will carry the hearing live. Getting underway Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Start popping that popcorn now. Much to the dismay of his staff, Trump's Twitter tirades continue. Following Saturday night's terror attack in London, the president went after London Mayor Sadiq Khan, taking Khan's comments out of context when he tweeted, quote, "At least 7 dead and 48 wounded in terror attack, and Mayor of London says there is no reason to be alarmed."
Why is the president picking a fight with the Mayor of London right after his city was hit by a terrorist attack?
I don't see that the president is picking a fight with the Mayor of London at all. I think, again, the president's point is something he said, frankly, it's been almost 2 years now, a year and a half ago, when the president talked about how we have to be more committed to national security. One of the reasons we have the travel ban here through that executive order is a focus on national security. That was the point he was trying to make.
But the president is saying that the mayor said there's no reason to be alarmed by the terrorist attack. That is not what the mayor said. The mayor, in fact, said that the threat level remains severe, that the chances of another attack are highly likely. He was saying, don't be alarmed by the armed police presence on the street. And the president directly misrepresented what the mayor of London said.
I don't think that's actually true. I think that the media wants to spin it that way, but I think that the president
was saying there's no reason to be alarmed by an attack on a city. You think that's what he was saying?
Look, I, I think that the point is there is a reason to be alarmed. We have constant attacks going on, not just there, but across the globe. And we have to start putting national security and global security at an all-time high. President Trump has been very clear that's his priority, and he's not backing away from that.
In addition to London's mayor, Trump's recent tweets have targeted his own Justice Department and may have made it harder for his travel ban to be implemented. On CNN Monday morning, Deputy Assistant Sebastian Gorka and Chris Cuomo got into it over the president's tweeting.
I just find it really disappointing that not only did you have one of your staff on before me for several minutes to discuss the president's tweets, that now we're 8 minutes into this interview and you're doing it again. Let's talk about policy. I'd like to talk about
that
policy.
That is the policy.
Tweets.
His tweets are the policy. They are statements from the president of the United States about what he wants.
It's not policy.
Of course it is.
It's social media, Chris. It's social media.
It's not social media.
Right?
It's his words, his thoughts.
It's not policy. It's not an executive order. It's social media. Please understand the difference.
I think that you need to have a little bit of an understanding here.
When
the president says, this
is
what I want.
You're a journalist.
What are you saying? We shouldn't listen to what the president says?
You shouldn't obsess about it for now. 12 minutes, Chris.
On NBC's Today Show, Kellyanne Conway said that the media has a, quote, obsession with covering everything he says on Twitter. While Trump was on his overseas trip, the Wall Street Journal reported that White House lawyers would begin vetting his tweets before they went out. When asked by the Daily Beast this week if the plan had gone anywhere, a White House official simply messaged back, LMFAO. The floated idea to have a legal team screen Trump tweets has, quote, not been moving forward, according to this official, with knowledge of the internal deliberations. On Monday, Trump's tweeting contradicted the administration's efforts to enforce a ban on immigration from six Muslim-majority nations. "I am calling it what we need and what it is, a travel ban," Trump tweeted, directly contradicting White House spokesman Sean Spicer's insistence that the measure is, quote, not a travel ban. Actually, the administration has been at odds with itself over the question of whether or not it is a travel ban.
First of all, it's not a travel ban.
We're going to have a very, very strict ban.
It can't be a ban.
It's a 90-day ban.
It's not a travel ban.
The ban deals with seven countries.
That is by nature not a ban.
This is a ban on travel.
That's not a ban.
He first announced it, he said Muslim ban. He called me up, he said, put a commission together, show me the right way to do it legally.
I'm not confused. I think that the words that are being used to describe it are derived from what the media is calling this.
And that's today's look at What's News. These reports and the Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener funded. If you appreciate our work, I hope you'll consider a contribution. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. You'll get all the regular shows and have access to the new Monday Music Show podcast and The Vault at NicoleSandler.com, plus bonus content. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Hello? Hello? Uh-oh. Oh, she should be there. Laffy? Oh, man. I have a feeling we're going to have a problem today. In fact, we may not have the rest of the show. All right, Laffy should be there. I'm going to try calling her back and see if it works. Because let me explain to you what happened. Let's just try it this way. See if it'll work if I call her. No. Why do I have nothing? Damn it, damn it. Oh, I know why. Hello?
I hear you.
Yay, there you are.
Phew. What happened?
Oh, I'll explain after. Don't I have an answering machine or something here?
Yes, what would you call a dick? Yes, you've reached a befuddled answering machine.
Yes.
You breached the Trump's tweet storm hotline.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yes. For a moment, Trump's little tweet storm was muted. Okay. Press 1 if you think Trump tweets in simple declarative sentences to prove that he actually did make it through 2 years of primary education before flunking out.
2? Okay. I'll go for that.
You have no idea how grateful I am that I can hear you now. press 2 if you think Trump uses lots of exclamation points and all caps because he thinks this is the most manly way to destabilize the government.
Oh, yeah. And that he's supposed to use all 140 characters. Okay.
Press 3. Now, this one's a little convoluted.
Okay.
Press 3 if you think Trump tweet storms because he dovetails the word storm with daily weather reports, and those prove that climate change isn't real.
Okay, I have no idea what you said, but 3, sure. I'll go along with that.
It just doesn't matter. No, okay, so if I know explaining a joke means it failed, and I knew it
it's
would
okay.
fail, but I didn't care.
It's fine.
Yeah, it just means
it's
the word
fine.
Tweet storm sounded like weather, and he doesn't believe in climate change.
That's right.
Blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
Or so we've been told, but they won't really tell us what he believes about climate change. In fact, Joe Scarborough I know I pulled this clip. Maybe I didn't keep it, where Joe Scarborough went at it with Pruitt and then told him, you know what, this interview is over. I'm going to find this. I know I pulled
it. Yeah, I never did hear it. I saw the tweets run by, and I never understood what they were about.
Oh, you know what? I won't even be able to play it for you because now I brought you up on the old computer. Here's what happened. When I called you during What's News, and then I realized you weren't hearing what I was feeding down the line.
Right.
And so then you called back. And that's actually when I realized, oh, shit, there's a problem. We have this, you know, rainstorm, as I said. And when I came into my studio this morning, my main computer, which is the one that's very finicky since I got this virus on it that was all self-inflicted. It was my own fault.
Because
I wasn't careful. No, early when I first got the computer, you know, this custom built monster of a machine. And I fucked it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's never been right ever since. If somebody's in South Florida and you know computers really well and you want to, you know, help me get this thing working right, please reach out. I will be forever in your debt. Anyway, so I come in this morning, the laptop, you know, my secondary computer booted up. It was fine. The other one I usually leave on all the time because it's temperamental. And I couldn't get it to work. I couldn't get it to boot up. I couldn't get it to start. Finally, I realized that, okay, this one monitor was off. So I turned the monitor on and it came up after I tried to restore it to an earlier set point. I mean, I went through all these, you know, machinations trying to get the thing working. I couldn't get the second screen working because I got two screens because I run so many different things at one time. And I wound up, I had moved monitors around. I moved everything around. Well, it turns out our electric bill doubled. So David came in here last night and turned off the two computer monitors. He didn't touch the computer. He just turned off the monitors, which I don't ever do. And it didn't even occur to me that that could have been what was going on. So meanwhile, I was plugging in and unplugging and moving monitors and computers and things. And I knocked loose my connection to, because I have this weird jump in levels when I call you on Skype. So to fix that, I moved Skype to the other computer and it's been working fine for the last couple of weeks. And just when I got you on the line while What's News was playing, I realized, oh, shit, there's no sound going in or out. And my connector to the computer, nothing was plugged in. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So,
and on this end, I could hear you. I mean, I could hear you on my, when I just played the show.
Right.
My headset. So I knew it wasn't my headset.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, you think it's unplugged or something happened. And then as soon as we went on to Skype, everything went absolutely
dead
blank.
Right. Because my input coming out of my control board, my mixer, wasn't going into that computer. And it wasn't coming out of it either. And if you saw the bird's nest of wires I had here, I'm trying to figure out which one it is. And I couldn't. It's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And then I'm like, oh, I can bring it back up on the other computer. We probably blew out a few eardrums when I connected with you because I still have that weird surge in level when I bring somebody on this computer.
Oh, right.
I don't know why. So, yeah. And then when I couldn't hear, it was because I was playing What's News and the promo through the same pot on my mixer. So I had you potted down. I had you, then I like remembered, oh shit, I brought the level down on the Skype thing on the computer itself. This is such great radio. So anyway, here we are.
Oh, and you know what? I had my cell phone in my hand about to call you, and then all of a sudden I heard your voice.
It wouldn't have made a difference. It wouldn't have made a difference because it's how I bring you up through. I don't know what I would have done. I would have played the Green News Report and tried to, in 6 minutes, figure out how to get that connected back up. But I know what I'll be doing tonight. Hey.
Yes.
Because tomorrow we are going to speak with Dennis Campbell, you know, UK progressive.
Oh,
he's back with us tomorrow. You know, when I first invited Dennis on, it was before the weekend. It was before the latest attacks in London, because tomorrow they have their special election, which Jeremy Corbyn is looking really good against Theresa May. People are, you know, saying, look, Theresa May had 3 terrorist attacks under her very short tenure as prime minister.
And she's the law and order, right? She's law and order like Trump.
Yes. In fact, just like Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't hear that. I played the law and order bong bong.
Oh, no, I couldn't, right?
I know, because you're on the same thing. I moved everything over to this computer so that when I play sound, when you're on the other one, you can hear me. But
yeah,
I did all this for you, Laffy. All this for you.
Oh, I feel so guilty. I'll have to do something nice. I'll send you a Blaze pizza.
Ah, we actually had that the other night. Before I left, last Wednesday night, David and I went to see Joe Jackson, and we so rarely go out these days. But Joe Jackson was in town. And before the show, we went for Blaze Pizza, which is so good. What a great night it was. And that, you know, it was the beginning of my long weekend. By the way, the tests went well. My heart is
good.
Perfect.
Both?
Yeah, you know, I went to the cardiologist because I've been having these episodes where my heart just races. Like, I'll be sitting here, you know, reading, sitting quietly, doing nothing stressful, and all of a sudden, boom, my heart will start racing. And, the cardiologist, the way we found the cancer was it appeared that I was having a heart attack. And even the troponin levels, the enzyme that you produce when you have a heart attack, was elevated. So they sent me for an angiogram, you know, a cardiac cath. So the cardiologist had gone up through my arteries and he told me then, your heart's beautiful. It's perfect. Do not worry about your heart. And again, he just eased my mind. He said, your heart's fine. It's perfectly normal. It's stress.
Right.
Your body does things. And when I told him, you know, it goes up to like 95, 97, he said, that's nothing. I have people in here. He said he had someone in there before me whose, you know, elevated heart rate was up to like 190 or something. It's like, oh my God.
Wow.
Can't even imagine. Cause at 95, I'm feeling like it's jumping out of my body.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He said not to worry. And then I had the, my quarterly CT scan. Oh yeah. So I don't get to see the doctor until the 20th. I was supposed to see him next week, but,
So you won't know about the CAT scan until then?
Yeah, except the University of Miami. You know, I go to the Sylvester Cancer Center at University of Miami, and they have that, you know, MyU chart or whatever it is. And they posted it last night, and it looks like everything's fine, like no return of the... there are other little things that I need the doctor to explain because there are other things that look a little concerning, but... I don't think they put it in the chart that you can read if there's anything of concern.
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying? They wait until you come and see them. So the fact that it was there eased my mind a lot. So anyway.
Good. Yay. And they'd call you if something was wrong.
No. No.
They wouldn't?
No. They'll see me on... I was supposed to see him next Monday or Tuesday, but they had to move all his appointments for next week. Something happened. I guess he's got to go out of town. So now I'm going to see him the morning of the 20th.
Oh, boy.
Look,
all right. Speaking of which, I'm going to be going out of town at the end of the month. So I don't know if I'm going to miss anything. I've got to look because we've changed the dates a couple of times. So I'll let you know.
Where are you going?
I think we have 2 trips planned. I think this is the Yosemite trip.
Oh, nice.
Then we're going to New Mexico.
You know, I lived in New Mexico for a little while. I lived in Taos.
Yeah, we're going there. A friend of mine lived there too. The last time I was in New Mexico, I think I was 5.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't remember very much. But
it's a great place to visit. Great place to visit. Horrible place to live unless you're in, you know, ridiculously wealthy. Wow. I used to describe Taos to people as like a third world country. There are the very, very rich and the very, very poor.
There's, I did not know that.
There's a pueblo there, you know, that's old school Native Americans live there. People of Spanish descent who've been there for generations.
What I remember.
And then a lot of new money. And the two don't mix very often. Not a good place. But there's a great radio station that I programmed and did mornings on, KTAUS. It's solar-powered radio. There were things I loved about it, but I only lasted four months.
The only thing I remember, my parents used to take us to a lot of the pueblos, a lot of the, there were cliff dwellers too, mm-hmm. and there were, we loved going to see Native American dancing and talk to them. I mean, my parents were just totally cool that way. They weren't fancy travelers, and they could have been. So I remember I was wearing a white t-shirt and blue jeans. I was about 5, and I had my hair in pigtails. And the chief of the tribe came up to my parents and said, and I have an older brother. He said, nice couple of boys you got there.
And you had your hair in pigtails. Oh, well.
Yeah, in braids.
Well.
So they thought I was a boy.
Oh. You could
have
been.
Okay. I was kind of happy with that.
Okay. Good.
Because I wanted to be like my brother. So,
I don't even know. I don't know where to begin. I was gone for, you know, what feels like forever. Can we talk about the, and I'm probably going to get myself in trouble talking about this, but there were two instances of two comedians who said both did stupid things. One got fired and the other one, there were calls for him being fired.
Right.
We're talking about Kathy Griffin, who I thought, and I don't know if we talked about this last week or not.
No, I don't
think
so.
It might have happened after we spoke last week, where she held up the bloodied head of Donald Trump. That, you know what? It was a little too realistic looking, and I think that's what was so offensive about it, because I thought it was disgusting.
Me too.
But look, Kathy Griffin has always done humor that offends. Have you ever seen her stand-up?
Yes, and she's outrageous, and that's what she claims to be. It's not like she's claiming to be anything different than she is.
Yeah.
The way I try to evaluate these things is, what if they did the same with the head of Obama?
Well,
they did.
They did, and they did worse. They had his head in like a voodoo thing. They stuck bones through his nose. They had him as a monkey, ape. They had Michelle Obama as an ape. The things they did to that man, and where was the outrage then? It didn't
exist. Hanging an effigy, and then they would, you know, if there had been the snowflake word back then, they would have called a snowflake for getting upset.
That's right.
The thing that I appreciated is that Kathy Griffin did a full-on apology. There was no, you know, it was completely direct.
And she came out for somebody who, like, will not be seen without her hair and makeup and everything.
Yeah.
She came out like she just rolled out of bed and, like, holy shit, I really stepped in at this time. I'm going to clear this up. I'm not waiting a second. Let's do this. Turn on the camera. So for her to come out with no makeup and her hair looking like it did, I mean, you know that she was, there was a sense of urgency there. And I thought her apology was spot on. I don't think she could have been any more.
There was no hedging.
Nope.
She did it in her bathroom, it looked like. I thought I saw in the background what looked like a bathroom.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think she just grabbed a camera and just talked. And, you know, so I really give her credit for that. You know, I don't like what she did, but she then immediately turned around and said, oh, my God, you guys, I really screwed up.
That's right.
So,
and yet that wasn't good enough.
CNN
fired her from her New Year's Eve thing. Really?
Right. Right.
I thought that was a bit much, and I didn't hear it because but Anderson Cooper apparently threw her under the bus.
Yep, he did.
Said I thought it was vile and disgusting, and no, there's no place for that, and whatever. And so I don't know. I don't know that he came to her defense or said we should keep her. I don't know.
I don't know.
But
I have no idea.
She's gone. And then you have Bill Maher, and I actually watched it yesterday. And Bill Maher, and Tripp is in the chat room. Call Me Tripp, who's a friend of ours, who's a black man. And he said, as a black man, I hope his ass is canned. That's the first thing I see going in there. Speedbird said, as a black man, I wasn't that bothered. Maybe it's because I understood Mars context. And then Tripp responded to that, saying, as a black man, I hope his ass is canned. He said, the greater point was the diminution of the house slave acting as if they weren't raped, beaten, tortured. Slavery is no one's fucking joke.
Seemed to be what I was seeing on Twitter from nearly everybody, what Call Me Tripp was saying.
Wow. And I don't know that Marr gave as full-throated an apology. He talked about how he has trouble sleeping every Friday night after a show and how this one was no different, that he knew he stepped in it, basically. But I don't recall his...
remorse. It doesn't sound like remorse. It sounds like, oh, crap.
Yeah,
I screwed up.
Bill Maher is also the person always saying enough with the political correctness. They're too politically correct on college campuses. I'm not a black woman. I don't know what that feels. I know when somebody makes a joke about the Holocaust, it stings more than others, perhaps, just because, you know, relatives in the past, you know, it's history. But I don't know that he should be fired for it. I don't know that. I don't think Kathy Griffin should have been fired. And I think if one is fired, then shouldn't the other one be? But I don't think either one should be.
Really good question.
I know.
I it's HBO. There are no sponsors. So
right?
I think it might be harder to fire somebody, because they're not going to get the same kind of pressure, you know, if
right.
you were on...
And, you know, look, people, we vote with our remote controls. If you don't like Marr, you don't watch his show. If enough people don't watch, then
I thought it was completely a stupid-ass remark. I saw it live. You know, I watched it when it was playing live. And Mr. Laffey and I immediately turned to each other and kind of went, oh, shit, this is really bad. And I was telling Mr. Laffey, you watch tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's going to hit the fan all over Twitter. It's going to become a snowball effect. Just like, you know, things take a while to murmur and then bubble and then boil. And then, you know, it blew up. And it's
even
exactly
worse,
what I thought.
Not worse, but just as bad, Ben Sasse, who was being interviewed, the senator from Nebraska, who laughed. He laughed, and then he did a Twitter stream after. He did like four tweets in a row. I thought I had had it here.
Tweet storm.
You know what? Maybe I do have it here. I do have it here. So Ben Sasse, here's what he tweeted out. I'm walking off a red eye from LAX. Three reflections on Bill Maher. One, I'm a First Amendment absolutist. Comedians get latitude to cross hard lines. Two, but free speech comes with a responsibility to speak up when folks use that word. Me just cringing last night wasn't good enough. He didn't cringe, by the way. Three,
no, he didn't.
Here's what I wish I'd been quick enough to say in that moment. Hold up. Why would you think it's okay to use that word? Four, the history of the N-word is an attack on universal human dignity. It's therefore an attack on the American creed. Don't use it. The thing is, he had an airplane ride to get with his staff members to craft a wonderful four-part tweet to respond to the criticism he knew he was going to get, or that had already begun. These weren't his words. This is some writer in his office on his staff who did that.
Absolutely.
And he didn't cringe. And the thing is, he didn't call him out on it. Al Franken has canceled his scheduled appearance for next week. Originally, Al Franken was supposed to appear this week at a book signing with Kathy Griffin. And he was going to keep that going until so many complaints came into his office that he told her she's not welcome anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. I have so many mixed feelings. First of all, I really hate what they both did.
Yep.
I really do.
Yep.
Hers was thoughtless and stupid because she easily could have prevented that. It took some thought going into it.
You know what? So, make it not look realistic.
Whether it looked realistic or not.
I agree. It's in really bad taste.
Yeah. And she that took forethought.
Yep.
So, you know, that was just dumb.
Yeah.
It was. What Marr did, okay, he does a lot of he says a lot of things that sound racist and or bigoted.
Very much so, you know, especially when it comes to Muslims. You know, and he probably has some of that in him. But again, HBO is a paid service. You know, people pay for it. And if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
Not only that, but sexist.
Oh, he's definitely sexist.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a lot of offensive things that come out of his mouth. So I am less likely to say, oh, well, he's just a comedian and he, you know, he didn't have sleep. I mean, that's so stupid. I mean, that, of course, that adds to somebody's not having their defenses up. So, yes, it may have slipped out more readily, but it slipped out nonetheless. I think it sucked. And we watch him because I really like the conversations they have at the table. I don't, and his monologue tends to be pretty funny, but I don't watch it for him. I watch it for the discussions
around the table.
And sometimes
I do watch it for, you know what? Sometimes he's funny. It's been less and less of
late. Oh, yeah.
But you know.
But I don't turn it on to say, oh, I got to watch Bill Maher.
Right.
You
it's
know,
the show.
And I've seen him live. His live stuff, I was on the floor. I don't laugh out loud at many comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Having been through years of being on stage as a comedian and watching others night after night, you know, for hours before I went on. But he had me tearing up with laughter when I saw him in Las Vegas. And I never thought I would laugh that hard at him in person.
He's capable of it. He is capable of it. That's why that was such a cheap, ugly shot. That was such a cheap, ugly shot. It was
horrible.
Unnecessary. And
I can't excuse that in any way, shape, or form.
No, and that's a word that just, it doesn't ever come out of my mouth. So how he could just say that, I don't know. But should he be fired for it? I don't know. And maybe if I was a black woman, I'd feel differently. I don't know. Although I've heard, you know, comedians tell Holocaust jokes and I haven't demanded they be fired. So I don't know.
I don't think we can compare them as much in the same way. Let's put it that way. It's slightly there's a difference there, but
why?
I don't know. It just strikes me differently. It's just a gut thing. I hate them both. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong here. I just guess I can't make the comparison in the same way. I don't know. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. But I don't know whether he should be fired. I know a lot of people want him to be. I understand it completely. But I get worried about firing people. They wanted him fired when he had Milos on, too.
David has a burning comment to make.
Oh, good, good. Well,
no,
I want to hear.
I have a question. I watch Marr's show religiously, no pun intended. Yeah. I've seen him live, pardon me, several times. I agree he's become less funny recently, but what he said, not great, but nonetheless, look at what he said about Muslims, religious people in general.
Yeah.
All of them, Catholics, Jews, Baptists, you name it. I mean, that's Bill Maher. I'm not excusing what he said. I'm not condoning what he said. I spoke to a very close friend of mine of more than 40 plus years, who was also one of my very first clients, who was black. And I asked him, I said, Glenn, you know, here's the situation. What do you think? And he said, no, shouldn't have said it. He said, it's one thing if you and I are in a room together and you make a joke and you use that word. He said, because I know I can talk shit to you about being Jewish. He said, but in that setting, he shouldn't have said it. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask him whether he thought Maher should be fired. I'll ask him that in our next conversation.
But that's exactly right, David. They have a certain responsibility because they're on the public airwaves.
But HBO is not the public airwaves.
Oh, well, you're right. But he's being paid where people watch him in mass. Yeah. You know, it's not like being alone with your friend.
Yeah, it's that old, he's an equal opportunity offender. You know, and if you find him offensive, then you don't watch it. I am of that school. I really think we all vote with the clicker, with the remote control. If somebody says something, if I say something that offends you, don't listen. It doesn't mean I should stop doing it because there are other people who might appreciate what I have to say. That doesn't necessarily work in the conversation we're having right now. if you appreciate Bill Maher saying that, then I don't want you listening to this show because, you know, but defend his right to say it because we do have a First Amendment and you do.
That's where I have the thing where I getting somebody fired over, you know, that's where I have a problem. Tune him out.
Yeah.
You know,
there are people who won't listen to me because I say fuck too much. I get it. You know, if someone wants to pay me to put me on their radio station where there are laws that you can't say it on the radio, I don't. But I don't have those restrictions on me now. So I speak the way I speak in real life, because that's how I believe in doing this job. And this is a job. That's his job. Nobody. The other thing is that was a spontaneous, contemporaneous utterance. It was nothing that was written for him. That wasn't in the script, which says something that he really needs his writers more than he might admit.
Exactly. Exactly right. That's the problem, is that too many times he's come out with things that are so offensive to people that, you know, they want him fired regardless. Forget this one remark. They want him out.
The firing people for one thing they say or one thing they do. Now, if it's a habitual thing, and some will make that argument about Marr.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
You know, he is a bit of a bigot. He is a, you know, he's bigoted against religious people. And I, you know, I'm not a fan of organized religion, but I believe people have the right to worship whatever deity they want.
He believes in the right to worship. He just doesn't agree that they should.
Right. Well, I guess David's back.
Being a comedian, the line that exists, that where the line is drawn is it funny? What he said wasn't funny, which to me, that was the worst thing. Nicole will tell anybody I am sensitive about anti-Semitism. Somebody makes a Jew joke. If it's funny, I'm going to laugh. If it's not funny, we're having a conversation. Right. But that's the line for a comedian. It's got to be funny. And what Marr said definitely wasn't funny.
You know, you're exactly right. Perception is everything. You know, I teach this. This is what I do. I teach comedy. I teach theater. If the audience doesn't perceive what you did as genuine in case of acting, or funny in the case of comedy, then it doesn't work.
Genuine in case of radio, too. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I can usually tell when someone's phony. You know, I'm going to tell this story just because I can. One of the things that, you know, my daughter graduated high school. The reason I went up to Northern Florida was because she's going to be a counselor at summer camp. But when she gets back, one of the things she's going to do is she's not going to go to college right away. One of the things she's planning to do is take this birthright trip. If you are Jewish, the state of Israel will give you a trip to Israel. They do these tours. They're for kids 18 to 26 years old. And all you have to do is, if you have a Jewish parent, you were raised Jewish, they will send you on a birthright trip, a 10-day trip to Israel, so you can see the country. They want to, you know, they want a younger generation to understand who they, I guess, who they want to be, not necessarily who they are. Anyway, so I was talking with a friend the other day who a neighbor of hers, a good friend of hers, just got back. The girl is 24 years old, and she just went and she stayed on. Her family met her over there and she stayed on for an extra week. So she had a great time on the birthright trip. She said it was life-changing, amazing. Then her family was there. Well, it turns out her uncle was there too. Her uncle is Mark Levin.
Oh, God.
Okay. And I'm like, I said, oh, God, that was my reaction. Oh, God. She told me that's the guy that he plays on the radio is not him at all. That's a character. He doesn't believe any of the shit he says.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, see, that does away with my whole thing. It's that I think the microphone is the best truth detector. If I'm lying to you, you can tell. I'm a bad liar. So maybe that's part of it. He must be a really good liar. So I've always, it's always been my thing. I'm just honest. I'm honest. I try to be honest in all walks of life, but especially on the radio, because if I'm not being honest with you, you can tell. Really, it's pretty easy to tell. So, but I thought that was amazing.
That is amazing,
right?
Hey, you wanna jump to tweets so we can get through some of the stuff that happened?
Let's do it. Let's go.
Sure.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, so what's on your tweet list today, Laffy?
Well, as I'm blocking a call coming in, First of all, Kyle Griffin, who is the producer of The Last Word, a producer of The Last Word on MSNBC. He says, stop what you're doing and read this. And this was what he put out. It was a screen grab, so I can't attribute it. Overheard at Trump National.
Yes.
At Trump National.
Well, that's one of his golf courses.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Trump discussing his decision to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement over lunch after playing a round of golf Sunday. Mm-hmm. Trump's post-Paris analysis, colon. They can't even get the weather report right, so how come they think they can get that right?
Unbelievable.
Ta-da!
Unbelievable.
Can you believe this?
I can believe it. First of all, there was just a terrorist attack in London. He goes out and plays golf on Sunday. His 22nd round of golf in 19 weeks.
And remember when George Bush said, now watch me putt or whatever he said, watch me
make this swing or something.
Yeah, something right after they discussed very serious terrorism business or war business.
And yet they all criticized Obama for how much he golfed. Trump has golfed more than Obama, you know, probably in his whole first year already in 19
because
weeks.
He's a lying hypocrite and we hate him. Okay, two. Igor Bobic. Who's the politics editor at Huffington Post? I'm sorry?
Igor.
Is it Igor?
It's Igor and
Are
young
you joking
Frankenstein.
Around?
That's okay. Frankenstein.
That's right. Mrs. Bucher. Trump isn't signing a bill. He's signing a list of, quote, principles on air traffic control. It's a faux bill signing ceremony. Amazing.
And that's true. It wasn't even an executive order. It was nothing that
was
needed
nothing.
To be signed. He just had to sign something so it looked like he was doing something.
Exactly. And he did the same I read today with the what was it?
The Saudi $110 billion weapons deal, which apparently is not real.
No, it's not real.
I'm glad it's not real. But apparently not real.
Not yet, anyway.
Right.
Anyway, so Quinn Cummings responded to the Trump isn't signing a bill thing, and her tweet was, giant toddler plays pretend as adults around him just happy he's not screaming. I love
and
her.
You know what? And apparently he's a yeller. He yells at people in his office. I can just kind of imagine being a fly in that Oval Office.
Well, he does attract flies. So.
Yes, I know. There's probably a few of them.
Yeah. Okay. Leo Hickman, this is a climate change activist, and he spent years and years at The Guardian. And he tweeted reports in both The New Yorker and The New York Times that thing that tipped Trump to reject the Paris Agreement was Macron's boast about his death grip handshake. So he put all our lives in danger and the life of the planet in danger because he got upset that Macron made a thing about the death grip handshake.
And I don't doubt that that's true. But how
sad,
to quote Dump himself, sad. What a sad man.
He's so sick. He's so mentally ill. He should not be in this office. He is screwing things up daily, hourly, minutely, secondly. I mean, he's horrible. It gets worse and worse every minute. Anyway, here's another one from Brad Jaffe. He's a senior news editor at NBC. He does a lot of good tweets. As does Kyle Griffin, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He says the Associated Press on the President of the United States. This was the lead sentence.
The fact that the AP tweeted this out is insane because the AP does not editorialize.
No, and this is their lead.
Mm-hmm.
President Donald Trump can't be counted on to give accurate information to Americans when violent acts are unfolding abroad. I think they could have stopped after. Can't be counted on to give accurate information, period.
You're right. But that was an actual tweet from the Associated Press. It was not only a lead sentence in a story. The AP, their actual Twitter account, tweeted this because I saw it when it came out. President Donald Trump can't be counted on to give accurate information to Americans when violent acts are unfolding abroad. He talked about one incident that was not terrorism, and he called it terrorism, or before he knew. I mean, he doesn't know shit.
Because he retweeted Drudge. The Drudge report tweeted that, this was an act of terrorism and 20 people died, and then he retweeted that as if it were fact.
Yep.
And then he went on to politicize the attack and defending his Muslim ban.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just the most irresponsible child. And finally, I have more that I put up some stories that I want to alert you to. But John Dingell, the former congressman from Michigan, he said Trump still hasn't appointed an FBI director. The Department of Justice is in shambles. Mm-hmm. And he spent the entire weekend golfing. But please, lecture London.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so I've got to tell you this. First of all, Canada said in the Washington Post, Canada says it will hike defense spending because it can no longer rely on the United States for global leadership. That was a headline in the Washington Post.
Okay.
That's bad.
Well, but good that they're going to, I mean, increase defense spending. Look, you know.
Sure. I mean, wow.
Yeah. The reasons are insane.
Yeah, right. Okay. Here's from Forbes. How Donald Trump shifted kids' cancer charity money into his business.
I read that article just a few minutes before coming on the air. This is heinous.
Wow, wow, wow.
They held and these golf tournaments at one of their golf courses, and it was an Eric Trump thing. And they, you know, they supposedly Eric Trump said, well, you know, we get the golf course, we get the facilities for free. All the money will go to the Children's Cancer Treatment Center, whatever. I forget what the actual charity was. But they charged unheard of amounts for the use of the golf course and funneled hundreds of thousands of dollars, like $1.2 million for the use of the golf course, $100,000 to Donald Trump's foundation. I mean, it goes on and on.
And to his golf course, to hold golf tournaments at his stupid golf courses.
Yeah.
And then one of the quotes, I'm paraphrasing because I did it in a tweet and I don't want to look it up because it will take too long. Quote, seems to defy federal tax rules and state laws that ban self-dealing and misleading donors and whether Eric and Don Jr. can be truly independent of their father. So there's all kinds of issues that came up with this, just really bad issues. And then Twitter users blocked by Trump are seeking a reprieve, citing the First Amendment, and they said that the next step would be a lawsuit.
Wow.
Because especially today, Spicer said that his tweets are indeed presidential statements. So now it looks like they have a real case, because if he's putting out statements and he blocks you, in other words, the president is blocking
people.
Free speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been blocked by him yet. Roger Stone blocked me.
I haven't either.
But
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll happen one of these days because I kind of troll him a little bit now, but well,
don't we all?
Yeah.
But you know, he's got so many of us doing that he can't, you know, block us as fast as we troll him.
He can't take it anymore. You know, he's a little snowflake and we have to be gentle with him.
Yes. No. And all of his tweets are archived, you know, as I said, in What's News, that, you know, the travel ban is going to go to the Supreme Court, but his tweets are going to make that he's going to lose the case. Because he's undermining everybody in his administration, all the people who work for him, and everything that they say in his defense. He's such an ass.
He's so stupid. Oh, my God. He
all
is
right.
So stupid. If he's so dumb that he's being advised not to do this, they come to him and they say, don't do this. Don't tweet this stuff because it's going to affect you legally.
He tweets
and
more.
He goes, no, I'm
going
to do
he
it.
He tweets more. That's why I saw somebody saying, help me sign a petition for Donald Trump not to resign. Because if you tell him not to do something, it makes him want to do it all the more. On that note, gotta laugh, we're out of time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Time just flies.
Forget it. I won't talk to you anymore. That's it. We're done.
I'll talk to you later. Find Gotta Laugh on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at laughiesplace.com. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Tomorrow, don't forget, UK Progressive. Dennis Campbell will be here for talk about what's going on in Great Britain. And with that, we're out of time for today. We'll do it again tomorrow. I will leave you with the Green News Report. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
It's Tuesday, June 6, 2017.
I reaffirm clearly that the Paris Agreement remains irreversible and will be implemented.
Fallout is swift and global after Trump abandons Paris climate agreement.
Aren't you and the president talking about protecting the horse and buggy business just as cars come online?
Even Fox News questions the economic case for exiting the UN climate accord.
Pittsburgh is the poster child of showing why the Paris agreement is good economics for the United States.
As states and cities step up to fulfill U.S. pledges. Plus, India announces it will sell only electric vehicles by 2030.
They're moving ahead. We're not. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I said during my confirmation process that climate change is occuring, that human activity contributes to it.
He's also said it was a hoax.
Well, Chris, the point here, and to your question,
is something that I'll figure out in a second. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I am so sorry that it has been so slow of late in the environmental news world. I hope you can come up with something to cover today.
Oh, I'm sure I'll manage. Okay. Say about the global swift fallout following United States President Donald Trump's announcement on Thursday that he will withdraw the United States from the United Nations Paris Agreement on Climate Change, the landmark global accord signed by 195 nations to cut man-made carbon emissions that cause dangerous global warming.
Yeah, that went over really well, didn't it?
Yeah, not so much. World leaders have all reaffirmed that they will move on with the global climate agenda without the U.S. French President Emmanuel Macron threw in a little light trolling when he reiterated that the Paris Agreement will be implemented globally.
We all share the same responsibility. Make our planet great again.
Oh, snap.
Ironically, Trump's withdrawal finally got the broadcast news networks to actually cover climate change and the Paris Agreement. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt did a victory lap on all of the Sunday morning news shows, but he did get some pushback. Fox News's Chris Wallace questioned the wisdom of retreating from the global clean energy race.
The U.S. now employs more than double the number of people in the solar industry that it does in coal. Aren't you and the president talking about protecting the horse and buggy business just as cars come online?
Wow. If you got Fox News, Chris Wallace asking those questions, you know those guys are in trouble. And by the way, Scott Pruitt had no other answer other than, well, we need coal around near the power plants in case there's a national emergency. Well, you know what? Fine. Dig up some coal, put it in a pile, put it next to a power plant, and let the rest of us get on with a clean, livable planet.
Here at home, a new poll finds nearly 60% of Americans oppose Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Accord, and that includes a quarter of Republicans who say that they believe it will hurt America's standing in the world and will damage the U.S. economy. American states and cities are defying Trump's decision to halt U.S. action on climate change. On Friday, they announced the formation of the U.S. Climate Alliance. It's a growing group of cities, states, and corporations that will submit their own pledges to the United Nations in order to fulfill the United States' promised emissions targets that Trump has abandoned under the Paris Agreement. As of airtime, 12 governors, including two Republican governors, and more than 200 mayors have signed on. Trump singled out the city of Pittsburgh in his speech.
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Well, that didn't go over well with the guy who actually represents Pittsburgh, Mayor Bob Peduto, a Democrat, who touted that Pittsburgh has actually reinvented itself as a green technology hub.
I was outraged. Pittsburgh is the poster child of showing why the Paris Agreement is good economics for the United States, and what we did today sets us back decades.
Peduto announced he signed new executive orders mandating the city's government will move to 100% renewable electricity sources and will convert its vehicle fleet to hybrid and electric cars.
It should also be noted that while Donald Trump thinks he represents Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh voted 80% for Hillary Clinton.
Speaking of electric cars, the government of India has announced new plans to sell only electric cars by 2030. That's to reduce the deadly fossil fuel air pollution that kills more than a million people in India alone every year. The move to electric cars is projected to save India more than $60 billion a year in imported oil costs, and the switch to electric vehicles could decrease India's carbon emissions by nearly 40% by 2030.
And yet, for all of those years, Republicans kept telling us that China and India would never do anything to reduce emissions. Going out now to buy Tesla stock. For all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Electric car on road so dark to change the end, rewrite the start. Electric car, so good, so fun.